Authority Spotlight. I'm your host, Michelle Prince, founder and CEO of Performance Publishing Group, making a difference one story at a time. We'll be shining the light on successful founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and leaders that are getting results and making a difference. We'll talk about how they built their businesses, are creating movements, and leveraging the power of authority in their own lives. Be sure to stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Authority Spotlight, where we shine the light on entrepreneurs, founders, leaders, people that are doing extraordinary things. They're making a difference and they're telling their story. And our guest today is someone very special to me, and I can't wait to let you get to know her because it's just so much fun. And her name is Isabel Bolt, and she grew up in Chicago, Illinois, attended Loyola University. Throughout her life, she's assumed various roles, including daughter, sister, wife, mother, patient, lover, friend, and professional, all of which featured a cast of characters. She's still trying to figure out the plot, but Isabel currently lives in Dallas, Texas, and she's recently written a book that is so extraordinary that I can't wait to tell you about. And this book, by the way, it already is a 5-star book with over 50 reviews, and it just debuted in January, so it's pretty recent. But we'll get to the book in just a minute. First, let's go ahead and welcome Isabel to the show. Welcome, Isabel.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited you're here. This conversation has been a long time coming because you and I met how many years ago? Right.
Probably three. I think three and a half.
It's been a while, but yeah. I just have to share real quick, briefly, how we met. So we met indirectly, not about your book yet, but some professional channels, doing some conference together. And I remember you and I having dinner one night. We met in Dallas, and you just kind of casually mentioned that you thought about writing a book. Do you remember that conversation?
I do. I remember it a tiny bit different in that I said something about writing, and you said, well, I'm a publisher for specializing in first-time authors. And I mean, it was such kismet at that moment. And I really believe in signs. And it had been way in the back of my mind. But, you know, how was I going to do it? Who was I going to do it with? When was it going to happen? How was it going to? And then you're sitting right across dinner from me in a total happenstance meeting. And so it was one of those signs that I thought, uh-oh, now the ball is just starting to roll.
I know. And I'm so grateful for that connection.
Oh, me too.
How that whole thing came about. But your book has, first of all, let's tell everybody what the title is. It's called The Secret to Happiness is Low Expectations. And if you are looking for a boring book with a lot of just, you know, boring concepts, then this is not the book for you. But if you want to have a good laugh and learn a little bit along the way, this is an extraordinary book. In fact, on Amazon, there was an anonymous review I just have to read because I think this really sums up your book perfectly. So it's, again, anonymous review says, a humorous revelatory, easy for me to say, a humorous revelatory romp through life's constant surprises. I dove into Isabel Bolt's The Secret to Happiness is Low Expectations, expecting a gentle guide on finding joy in the everyday. Instead, I got a hilarious masterclass in life's unpredictability, a book that's as sharp and witty as refreshingly honest as that one friend who always tells it like it is. Isabel's storytelling is like a cocktail of humor, wisdom, and charm. Her chapter titles had me grinning and not sure what to anticipate, as often comes when you lower your expectations and simply laugh at the chaos. What an incredible review.
Isn't that great? And that's anonymous. I don't know, you know, if it was friend or foe or what, but found the book. That's fantastic. And I do think that it's interesting how people have received the book, because what I intended for it to be, and then once, of course, it's published, you don't get to read it for people. People are reading it and making their own conclusions. And it's been such a kick to hear how relatable it is, how much people laughed about it, because it was intended to be a humor book about looking at life through a lens and kind of in the rearview mirror, yes, the happenings in your life. And whether it was raising kids or having a lake house or being a working professional and traveling, aging, retirement, like it's all in there. And a little bit something for everybody, but the people who have written in reviews, it seems like everybody, there was a different take on it, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody wants to, I mean, first of all, everyone can relate with the topics, you know, in the end, the ups, the downs, but you did it in a way with humor, which I think is great. And it's really not your first time to be writing with humor though, is it? Your Christmas.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I actually, the way I started the book, or how the book came together, was years and years ago. I always collected a scrapbook, and it wasn't for photos like more, most people do. It was words. It was words. It was maybe snippets from sermons, happy, funny episodes that happened in the family, ridiculous things at work. Everything would be in the scrapbook. I used to write on matchbooks or on, you know, envelopes and put it in the console of my car, and then I would collect it all and just keep it in a basket. And then I put it in writing because it was no computers then. We're talking 40 years ago that I started, you know, just doing it for fun. Well, then when the kids were born, I got married and the kids were born, I started getting these Christmas letters, and you know, all of them are the perfect families with honor roll students, and the husband just got a promotion and he was taking everybody to Hawaii for the holiday. I mean, every single one was
Relate
one
to
of those, exactly. And I thought, wow, we're doing something wrong here in this house. So I started kind of a campaign, and every year I would write kind of an anti-Christmas letter that just would talk about what happened with our family really in during the year. And folks got such a kick out of it that people started like asking if they could send to their friends. And pretty soon I almost had people subscribing to my Christmas letter because they wanted to know how things really were going. And so, and I, after my divorce, I kind of stopped for a few years because it was a little bit of a sadder time. But then I picked it up again, just talking about work, travel, you know, weddings, lake house. It just goes on and on. And I now, of course, it's on a computer where I have all of it. And literally it's 52 pages single spaced. I couldn't get all of it into the book, but it was a it's a container for a lot of moments and episodes that really were tickled me. So
I've read one of those Christmas letters or two, maybe a couple actually at this point, but they're hilarious. But also, I mean, because it's so much of your personality, but I've seen how you've taken so much of that, this that you did with all those letters into the book. And you've been thinking though about writing this book for how long now?
I was probably seriously thinking about it for about 6 or 7 years, because even in my sales job that I had for many years, I loved to do storytelling. And it got to the point where every time I would visit one of my distributors, before I could do a product presentation, they'd always say, "Oh, Isabel, before you start, tell us about when the fireman came and your oven was on fire from the lasagna." Or, "Isabel, tell us about how the boat caught on fire in the middle of the lake." Or, "Isabel, what, tell us about when you ran out of gas." I mean, it would be all these stories, and they would be constantly retold. And they go, "Okay, now you can do your presentation." And every time something hilarious happened within the family or friends, everybody would look at me and go, "Okay, that goes in the book. You got to put that in the book." That's it. So it, there was a constant, like an undercurrent of, one of these days this book is going to come. The hard part was, though, what was it going to be about? It's not a how-to book, and I didn't figure it was going to be an inspiration book. What was it, just about my family and work and funny things? So it took me a while to kind of feel what, how that was going to all come together in order to be entertaining and relevant.
Well, I think you nailed it, truly. And I know it did take a little while to just get that exactly solidified,
Yes.
but I think you really truly nailed it because it is a perfect blend of your stories, the funny stories, your obviously your we're going to be talking about some of your stories here in a minute, but also though with some really applicable, you know, it's not like somebody had to know you to know to learn something through some of your stories. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Michelle, because several of my friends, and it kind of hurt my feelings at first, they said, "Well, you know, do you think anybody's going to really get it or be interested if they don't know you?" And I thought, "Oh, you know, I kind of never thought about that." And the happy, you know, outcome of that is that there's been so many people who don't have a clue about me that have picked up the book, and it's in book clubs everywhere now. And I mean, people I've never met, they still got a kick out of it. So I'm glad it had more universal appeal than some of my friends first thought.
You're going to have a little higher expectations next time, Isabel.
Right? Exactly. Change the title.
There are so many good stories, so many good chapters. I'm curious though, what's your favorite chapter?
I think, well, it's really hard because they all stand alone. They're all kind of like little pearls that are strung together on a necklace. But I'll kind of switch the question around and say that I think the chapter titles are the things that made me roar when I finally got, you know, I actually did the titles before I wrote any of the copy. Huh? And there's things like the labor comes after the delivery, which is true to anybody who's had kids. There's been a mistake. I got the wrong family, which is something my son said when we put him in timeout when he was six. Playing with matches, my chapter on online dating in your 50s. Mm-hmm. Six Saturdays and a Sunday, retirement. So just, I just got such a kick out of putting those together and then writing from there. So I think the chapter titles themselves are my favorite.
For sure, for sure. We have to talk about the wishbone.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Wishbone, because you're also wearing a wishbone.
I'm wearing my wishbone. Yes, it was a gift from a friend after I got published. Yes, very important because it's also the subtitle of my book. 10 years ago, one of my very good friends, she happens to be featured in the book. Her name is Karen. She's known for kind of oddball gifts. And so I get this giant gold wishbone in the mail. And I thought, oh, no, where is this going to go? So I put it on the coffee table in case she came over.
Huh? Of course. We all have those.
But what she wrote in my card was so, so important and never forgot it. And she said, Isabel, every woman needs to have a wishbone, a funny bone, and a backbone. And what she was talking about is we all need our dreams, we all need a sense of humor, and we all need courage. And it's always resonated with me. Every woman can identify with that. And truly, I made it the subtitle of my book because there's a lot of all of it in the book.
Yeah, it is all 100%. And I just the visual, it's such a good visual. And I love that you have the necklace because it is that reminder, but not just the funny bone, the wishbone, but also that backbone piece of it. And you talk a lot about that because you don't talk about just great things and perfect moments in the book. Like we talked about, you did also write right. about some painful moments. What was that like? And how was, you know, was it hard, I guess, sharing some of your more personal and difficult moments that you've been through?
Yes, because everything isn't a laugh for sure. And at first I wasn't sure I was going to even share as much as I did, but then the book wouldn't have authenticity. So I did have a couple battles with cancer and I did get a divorce. I did have my heart broken after the divorce with the guy. And so it was hard, mainly because I have a difficult time living in the moment. And by writing about this, I had repressed a lot of the feelings that I had about all of those happenings. I went through it, but I wasn't really in it. So I think in writing the book, I didn't ever expect that it would be cathartic as well, but it really was because it kind of brought up all the old feelings that I kind of didn't want to face at the moment because I was so distracted with the other chaos. So it's good sometimes to sit with it and realize, you know, how you've grown from it and how the folks around you supported you in every way. So there's a little blend of that as well.
Yeah, for sure. I always tell people that, you know, writing a book, no matter what the subject is, because we've all been through stuff. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit like pulling off a Band-Aid sometimes though. I mean, that's a good
analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's not, but then once you do, you're kind of like, oh, okay, now I feel better. You know,
It is. It's a release. It's a way of releasing. And also I think as I was writing it and kind of getting almost toward the end, because as you know, I wrote it in 4 months. It took 40 years, but wrote it in 4 months. And around the third month, I was having a lot of thoughts about maybe I'm not going to publish. I will publish it, you know, with Michelle and Performance Publishing, but maybe I just give it to close friends because some of the stuff in there was vulnerable. And I thought, well, and does anybody really care about my story? And maybe once it gets out there, people would look at me differently. Maybe I don't need all that out there. And then I talked to a very good friend of mine. He happens to be a former boss of mine in Boston, a gentleman. And he said, Isabel, there you go again. You're trying to control the outcome, mm-hmm. which is my specialty. But he said, let that book go. And for once in your life, just stay curious about how it'll be received. And he said, you're going to steal so much joy from people if you don't just let it go. And he kind of, I waited a little bit and then I thought, no, I think I'm going to. It's a risk to be an author. It really is a risk, especially when you're telling your own story. Because you never know how that's going to be received. And in fact, a lot of people came back to me and went, I had no idea. Like they thought they knew me. And they're like, we didn't know that about you. And how you seem so vulnerable in that. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's good that now it's out.
I think it is good. I mean, I know how you feel though. I mean, I've written books too, where you share things. In fact, funny enough, just this last week, I was with an aunt who doesn't live, lives farther away, and we don't see each other that often. And she was just reading a book, one of my books that I wrote a couple of years ago. And she was like, I had no idea. And I think that's kind of the whole point of writing a book and being authentic is going back to your Christmas letters, we assume everyone else has it all together or nobody else is dealing with this, or I don't want to burden someone with my problems. But the truth is that is how we help people, you know? I mean, even going back to your review from that anonymous woman, that like made her, you know, it tickled her funny bone, but it also brought some other things up than had you not shared your story, you know, depriving people from that. So what great advice.
And it is relatable. People say it was very relatable and that they kind of saw themselves in some of the stories, which is great. And I think overall, just being able to look in the rearview mirror of your life after six decades, and you see all the interconnectedness that you never knew what was happening at the time. It kind of, you know, chokes you up a little bit because you never know how important a relationship or situation might be until it's in the rearview mirror, because we can't see the future. And sometimes we're not even starring in our own lives. Sometimes what's going on with us really is helping somebody else. Yeah. And although I never intended it for it to be an inspirational book, it's very interesting, Michelle, that a lot of the reviews that I've read use the word healing, which is I'm very complimented by that, healing and inspirational, because it does put all the puzzle pieces together when you look in the rearview mirror about why something happened the way it did. And it might have been nothing to do with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I love, you said that even before you wrote the book, you've mentioned the rearview mirror. And I love that analogy though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big part of your story. So if it's okay, I have to share. One of my favorite moments with you through this whole book journey was your book signing. You've done, we're going to talk about all the book signings you've done, but the one that I was able to attend in the Dallas area.
Oh, yes.
Oh my gosh. First of all, just to see your family, your friends, and everybody there to support you. But second of all, because I know the story of almost everybody in that room, because a lot of them are in the book, you know, under different names, but so special. But it made me really curious, though, what did all your friends and family, especially the ones who made their way into the book, think about?
Oh, yeah.
Think about them. And well, so you had to change some of the names of the innocent.
I did have to change some of the names of the innocent. And one of the funny stories, offshoots of it, was that my ex-husband did not want to be in the book. He knew he had to be in the book. We didn't want his name in the book. And I said, look, the people who know us know who you are in the book. The ones who don't know us, doesn't matter anyway, but he didn't buy it. So I said, okay, I'm going to name him Jeff. The problem was that when I gave my boys the book, I gave them a raw manuscript. You know, I gave everybody a raw manuscript who was prominently featured in the book. And I went to Greg, my younger son, and we talked about it. And I said, oh, and by the way, I named Daddy Jeff. And of course, that got to be kind of a joke. And then I called my older son and he said, oh, Mom, I can't make it over, but can you run by my office and I'll just come down and grab it? And I said, absolutely. So I ran by David's office and he runs out and I roll down the window and I hand him the book and he goes, okay, thanks, Mom. I'll call you tonight. Anyway, I forgot to tell him I changed the name. So he starts reading this book, Michelle, and he's on the third or fourth page and he goes, who the hell is Jeff? And how could she make us find out through a book that she had another marriage before my father? Oh my God. Oh. And then it took him two more pages to go, oh, it's my father with a new name.
Oh, that's
so funny. Yeah, that was pretty darn funny. The kids remembered a lot of the things that, you know, their feedback was awesome. They thought, you know, and plus they liked it because now they got a keepsake. of all the funny things they did and said and how it all came together. A lot of my girlfriends, they were yelling at me, why didn't you put this thing in? Why didn't you put that time in? But you have to cut it off. I said, first of all, there might be a sequel, so sit down. But a lot of them wanted me to add different things. And then it's in terms of the work memories I had, they couldn't put all of them in there because it might hurt some people. Do you know what I mean? Like if you kind of poke fun. I did not want this book to be a tell-all embarrassing thing for people. It had to be lighthearted, and I wanted to pick and choose and kind of pull it together in the right context where there'd be enough funny things, but not a tell-all book about everybody. But and my sister, she's got the longest chapter. She doesn't think it's long enough. That was her two cents. But they all said, you know, that was it. You nailed it. You know, there's no exaggerations in there. It is who we are and what we are. And they all got a kick out of it. I was really happy about that.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. Those stories are hilarious. And it was so nice just putting their stories with a face and meeting people.
With the face. Yeah. I think that party was one of my highlight reels of my life because all my different groups of friends and family and acquaintances were all there and under. A lot of them didn't even know each other, but to have everybody you love in one room, it's kind of touching. It really was wonderful that they all showed up for me.
And you were surprised. I do recall. I don't know if anybody's going to show up. Well, we couldn't
walk. I said, Michelle, I think only 10 people are coming. There's like 60. No.
Not surprised. Oh, okay. Anybody else who knows you, but I know you.
Oh, I was so grateful that day. It was so much joy. Yeah.
Well, Zig Ziglar used to always say it, and I really try to communicate this as well with people thinking about writing a book. It's not about the book, first of all, but it's kind of the process. It's who you become as a result of writing a book, because it is such a personal journey. How has writing this book changed you?
Well, I think in a lot of different ways. It's made me realize that humor really is a love language to me. I often sign my books that way. Humor is the sixth love language. And I think that it was basically what I started it was going to be and what it ended to be were two different things. Because at the end of it, I just wanted to tell some funny stories. But at the end, I realized that it was a giant love letter to life. That's kind of all I can tell you.
I'm writing that down, what you just said. Humor
is
love language.
Yes, it is a sixth love language. And I did dedicate the book also to all of us who were born with a sense of humor and somehow managed to keep it. Because if you don't have one, life is very hard. You have to find the fun in, or the funny in a lot of situations that otherwise are not, they're untenable. But yeah.
And sense of humor isn't based on what you've been through either. It's a choice because you've been through things just like many others, and yet you have a funny bone. So you're
You got to protect it.
Backbone.
Yes. No, it's been a great experience, and I can't believe a year ago, you know, I was still in the thick of it, writing it. And no, I'm really and I'm you know proud. There's a sense of pride in having your story out there, and it's something that it'll always cherish because now everything's kind of in one place and people can read it and they see themselves in there. It's fun. It really has been fun.
It's such a good book. And people are going crazy over it because not only, so you had your Dallas book signing. Talk about all the different events and things. I know you have a Chicago book signing or had.
Oh, yeah.
South Lake, Houston, Minneapolis, Boston. Tell us everything.
Okay. So I had the Dallas one. The Dallas one was my gift to the book launch team and all my friends. And after that, my girlfriend, Karen, she's a socialite in Chicago, actually. And so she had a beautiful reception for me at the Women's Athletic Club on Michigan Avenue. And there was folks there. And there was a lady there who is the editor in chief of Classic Chicago Magazine. And she loved the presentation so much because we did a presentation instead of just a party, like a Q&A. And so she interviewed me, and I was just in Classic Chicago Magazine as a feature on Easter, which is terrific. And then through a friend, Southlake is a little suburb that's right by DFW Airport. And my son works at a very upscale brokerage there as a residential realtor. So his boss called out of Clear Blue Sky and said, you know what? a couple of these women have read that book and I want to have a party for you. Why don't we have a Q&A? So he opened his office and we had a beautiful party and a Q&A. My son was the moderator, which is a little bit frightening, but we had a good time. I saw some people I haven't seen in many years. And by virtue of that, they're going to do a feature article for me in South Lake Style, which is their magazine that comes out once a month, which is so wonderful because that's where actually I raised the children. We raised the children. So that's coming out in June. And then Houston is in 2 weeks. Then August is going to be Minneapolis and Boston. All these are like friends or friends of friends who've read the book and want to kind of spread the gospel, so to speak. And I just think it's going to be so much fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's been wonderful.
I truly think this is just the beginning. Like I just,
oh.
You really are. You're remarkable. Everyone who's met you feels the exact same. But I do think this book is speaking to so many, it's just speaking to all the things us women go through, right? And but you're doing it in a funny way that makes, you know, we're just kind of laughing at the not so great stuff all the time, right?
Right.
But
yeah.
But doing it together, which is so you're
well, and it's I think it makes people pay attention a little bit more.
Yeah.
Many people came up to me after the book signings and said, wow, the fact that you captured the stuff that your kids said and that you were able to write down, you know, funny things that happened, because you forget, you just forget. And so you pay attention. Now I think some people are paying more attention to situations and funny things that are happening and all these happenstance meetings you happen to have, and nothing's random, you know, when you think about it. And all of our lives are, you know, painted in different ways, but to, you know, pay attention, because my scrapbook is not finished yet. It's alive and well.
That's
and true. Getting fatter and fatter. And so, yeah. So I think it makes people kind of notice more that happenstance meetings and, you know, signs that you find that are urging you one way or another can be a lot of adventures. So, yeah.
One last question. And
yeah.
Aside from you have all of these, the book signings coming up and all of these events, but what is your next? What's the next for Isabel?
Oh my gosh. I have to give it a lot of thought. I would like to do another book. One of my chapters is Rations and Rants, which is my son's name for the restaurant he wants to buy me. I love to cook and he named it Rations and Rants because I'm giving everybody my opinion, whether they want it or not, while I'm in the kitchen or serving dinner. And I thought to myself, maybe I should do a cookbook with all my rants in it. Now here's my favorite recipes and here's the rant that goes along with each one of those. I don't know that I'm just kind of playing with that one right now and seeing if that would even have any, could get any traction. But yeah, I might do an offshoot of one of the chapters and make it a whole book is what I'm thinking. So
I love the idea of a cookbook. I think you should do that no matter what, because you know,
okay. I love to cook.
I know about you. I've never had one of your meals, but I hear about the meals you've made for the kids, even when they were like younger at the lake house and stuff like that. So I know you're a good cook and I say, get those down.
Okay.
The rants are what people are going to really want to read. So I
oh, there's plenty in this book, but yeah. I never run out of them. That's the beauty.
That's the beauty. Right. And I'm just going to put a bug in your ear, and I'm not sure that this is going to come of anything, but I just, like I said, I wrote it down and I absolutely love it, that humor is the sixth love language. And there is just something to that. And there's something to reminding people of that. So maybe there's something else to expand upon in that, because I think that's a really great concept.
Well, there's something here, just real quick. I just thought of this while you're talking. Yes. This is the last page of the book, actually. And I say, so what is the secret to happiness? Low expectations? I'm not sure. But what I know is what's real is always worth it, regardless of what we are expecting. And then I say, often in our lives, we don't realize the significance of a relationship or situation until much later, when the experience is past. So I pay attention. And I say, in the meantime, I've learned that there is more carbonation in life if you embrace your funny bone, wishbone, and backbone. Humor is both a love language and armor. Dreams are fuel, and we are stronger and braver than we think.
That is so beautiful. And this is a book that everyone listening needs to get. Again, it's The Secret. Hold up that cover again. I want everyone to see that cover because it's gorgeous. I love this color cover.
Love the colors.
It's so cute. It's so you. The Secret of Happiness, or of to happiness is low expectations by Isabel Bolt. And where can they get in touch with you, get a copy of the book? What's the best way to reach out to you?
It's on both Amazon and on Barnes and Noble websites. And I will say that if you want to get on my Instagram, I have a special Instagram that's called at Isabel Funnybone. So that's easy to remember. And each of the reels or the posts that we've done on there, it talks about a chapter in the book. And behind the chapter title is seemingly pictures that seemingly don't go together. But when you read the book, you'll see the breadcrumbs, because every one of those chapters has those images in it somehow. So it's kind of a little bit of a word search kind of thing, but people have really liked it. So
it's hilarious. You have to, everybody listening, go to Instagram at Isabel Funnybone, right?
At Isabel Funnybone, right. Correct.
Awesome.
Well, and thanks in advance for everybody who's bought the book and come to the signings. And thanks in advance for everybody who does go pick one up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This is so much fun.
Thanks, Michelle.
I really, truly just know that this is the beginning of something beyond what you can imagine. And
well, you were my launching pad, so I'll never forget that. And I really treasure our friendship as well. So thank you.
I do too. All right. Well, everyone, that is it for the Power of Authority Spotlight. Definitely go out, get the book, go to Amazon right now and grab a copy. The Secret to Happiness is Low Expectations.
Expectations.
Bolt, B-O-L-T. And
like lightning.
Like lightning. I love that. I don't know if I heard you say that, but that is so true. You are so much like lightning. And just encourage everyone listening that, you know, there's so many great stories and so many good lessons learned. Yes, it is funny, but just that whole, the concept of the whole, you know, looking in the rearview mirror and all the things that are ahead of us, right? There's so many good things, regardless of what's happened in the past. But this book is just such a great reminder of how to use that wishbone, the funny bone, and the backbone in all that you do. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Power of Authority Spotlight. If you are a successful founder, entrepreneur, business owner, or leader that's getting results and making a difference, and you'd like to be on this program, please visit performancepublishinggroup.com/podcast to apply. That's performancepublishinggroup.com/podcast. Also, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #ThePowerOfAuthority Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our websites, performancepublishinggroup.com or michelleprince.com, and follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.